Hello and welcome to Lodcast. In this episode, I sit down with Adam Eastall, the Chief Legal and Strategy Officer at Eigen Technologies. In this episode, we attempt to demystify AI and how it applies to the legal world. We get specific on machine learning, training algorithms, fuzzy search, confidence intervals, and lots more. So if you're a legal professional wanting to really understand how AI might actually apply in your world, this one's for you. I started the interview by asking Adam to tell listeners a bit about himself.
Sure. So I'm Eigen's Chief Legal and Strategy Officer. That means I look after Eigen's strategy, where we're going in terms of our business and so on. I also head up our commercial efforts in the legal sector, so providing our tech to our clients in the legal sector. And when I have a spare moment, I'm also the General Counsel.
Okay.
My sort of past life, I was in corporate law, so I was a corporate partner at Slaughter & May. I did that for 5 years. Before that, I was at Slaughter & May, man and boy, as is traditional,
right.
Before deciding to take the jump to the legal tech world.
Was this all in London?
Yeah, all in London,
yep. Yeah. Okay, and why don't you tell us just a bit about what Eigen did?
Yeah, sure. So Eigen is a machine learning natural language processing company. Essentially, what we do is we provide machine learning technology that extracts and analyzes text data. And what we try to do is we want to put the power of machine learning into the hands of non-technical users. So we want to make sure have technology that is capable of being used by people other than geeks,
right?
Of which certainly I'm not one. And essentially, the technology allows people to extract whatever information they want, so they can choose the information that they want to extract from whatever document type they want. So it is generic and it's flexible. And essentially, the big problem that we're trying to solve is that there is a huge amount of information that's currently locked up in text data, wherever that may be and in whichever sector that may be. And we want to help people and organizations unlock that text to make better and more data-driven decisions.
Great. So you're very well positioned to help our listeners understand a bit about artificial intelligence and the law, because I feel like AI is quite almost a dangerously ambiguous word. It can mean a lot of things for a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking about robot revolutions AI, are we? We're talking about more specific machine learning applications. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. I mean, I think, as you say, there's a lot of hype and perhaps sort of misinformation about what we mean by AI. I mean, just the other day, I actually saw an advert for an AI-enabled toothbrush. I mean, quite what that was, I have absolutely no idea.
Right.
But I think it shows you that there's sort of the proliferation of this word AI, and no one actually really quite can put their finger on what it means. For me, in terms of the legal space, we're quite far away from what we mean by what I would mean by true AI, which is essentially an artificial intelligence application that's actually taking decisions for people. I don't think we're anywhere near that yet. But nevertheless, I think there's quite a lot of hype at the moment around what AI is in the law, what it can do and what it can't do. And sometimes that leads, and that has led in the past, to misaligned expectations. So certainly with some people I speak to, they think that, there's going to be this product that will solve all of their problems and they'll just be able to press a button and it'll all work wonderfully.
Yes.
And we're quite far away from that, I think. But what we do have is we do have powerful machine learning technology that can actually help transform the way lawyers work and actually help them make decisions based on data and improve how they do their jobs and help them do their jobs better and more accurately.
Machine learning. So can we spend a bit of time on what that exactly means? Because I feel it's used a lot.
Yeah.
And you can get something from it. It's a machine which is learning things. My understanding is a lot around you need to train algorithms with a lot of data. And through that process of training, it can come to develop a certain level of logic.
Yeah. Essentially, what you're doing is, with this sort of natural language processing machine learning technology, the idea is that you will show the machine a number of examples of the language that you want it to then go and look for. It will then essentially say, okay, there will be algorithms that work in the background that start assembling that into a pattern. So it's looking for those patterns in the language that are common. So once you've shown it enough examples, the machine has then learnt what to look for. And again, this is effectively beyond just a sort of glorified find search tool, but is actually saying, okay, well, now I'm understanding the context. I'm understanding the answer. I'm understanding the context around the answer. I'm turning that into a pattern, which when you show the machine then a similar pattern in that language, it's able to recognize it and pull out what you were looking for.
Right. So if we can perhaps ground that in an example for some of our listeners. So if I'm a lawyer and I want, how would I be using machine learning?
If you're a lawyer and you're using machine learning, so essentially you would say, okay, what information do I want to extract from this document? So let's say you've got a number of documents of a similar type.
Yeah.
And I'll ground this in an example, which is a use case that we are coming across quite a lot at the moment. So there's a lot of talk in the market around the LIBOR
sure.
transition.
Yeah.
So that requires lawyers essentially to run through a huge number of documents, extracting and understanding and analyzing very specific pieces of information. So this is beyond just common clauses. So this is beyond just wanting to know what the governing law is, wanting to know what the termination clause is. You actually need some very specific information. So, and again, it's beyond just, is my contract, does my loan reference LIBOR? So you'd want to know, okay, within my contract, am I essentially, what do I need to extract? I need to understand, is it a LIBOR peg loan? Then what are the consequences of changing that reference rate? So I might want to then know, okay, do I need majority lender consent to change the reference rate, for example? Mm-hmm. All of these questions about how do I then need to go about changing that contract, repapering that contract, all of that's locked up in the contract. Now, what you can do with machine learning and what people have done with our platform is actually then train the machine to look for those answers, to look for those very specific answers, so that you can then get an understanding of what you then need to do with that contract to repaper it. And you train it on, let's say, certainly in the case of our technology, you can train it on, let's say, 30 or 40 examples. And you can then effectively run that machine learning model across then your hundreds and thousands of documents. So effectively what you're able to do is scale the legal analysis that you would otherwise have to do or individually across all of those contracts.
Right. So you would, if I understand correctly, for the purposes of training the algorithm, is that the right?
Yep.
Yeah, purpose of training, you would need to do at least 40 ones manually, so to speak.
Yes.
Feed it into the system. It then sees what you've done.
Yes.
Applies it to your larger data set.
Correct.
So I'm just thinking, you said earlier it's a bit beyond just a control F search. How is it a bit beyond that? What's the kind of key differences?
So the key difference in our technology is that it will look, as I said before, it will look for the answer and will start looking for the context around the answer. So with our technology, it would say, okay, so let's say a clause is not drafted in the same way every single time.
Right.
Which it won't be. Right.
Yeah.
So let's say you're looking for something, or you're looking for a piece of information in a clause which isn't drafted in the same way every single time. Nevertheless, because it recognizes the pattern, it will be able to look at things which are drafted in a similar way and say, okay, now I think that I've got that answer, even though it is not exactly the same as the examples that I've got shown.
So you can almost be a bit fuzzier with your search.
You can be fuzzier with your search.
Yeah.
And the other thing that our technology will do is, let's say it's not quite sure that the answer that it's got is right, it will give you a confidence rating. So it'll give you a little yellow bar to say, I think this is the answer. I'm pretty sure I've got it right, but I'm not entirely sure. So you might want to go and check.
Ah, that's interesting. So if I'm a lawyer and I put in all these contracts for LIBOR, it comes back with a dashboard rating, and there'll be confidence intervals on what it...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Exactly. And then, what it does is it will not just show you where in the document the answer is, so that then a lawyer has to go and read and analyze it. It will actually pull the information out into a data table, which you can then effectively use. You can export it somewhere else. You can export it into Excel if you want, and you can start manipulating the data.
Yeah.
So, as I said before, what we're really trying to crack is finding the data and extracting it, but lifting it out so that it is then capable of being manipulated and used in whatever way the user then wants to use it.
Great. I think that's a really helpful analogy. And it kind of leads me on to the next question I had, Adam, which was, how is data transforming the law? Because I feel like that example of libel is quite a good one. Actually, so when you were describing what it would do, it seemed, in my head, I went back to being a junior lawyer. I was like, that's a really boring job. I'm really glad that's gone.
Yeah.
So I guess that's more of a comment, but I think that use of data insight and analysis is changing the way law is done.
Yeah.
What's your take on how fast it's changing and how much it's changing?
That's a good question. I'll just come back to your point on you know, it replacing what you would do as a junior lawyer.
Right.
I agree with that. I think that it does to some extent allow lawyers to do other things, or it can scale that sort of drudgery, if you like. But for me, this is about a lot more than just removing the drudgery for junior lawyers, because nevertheless, you know, even using junior lawyers to get that data out and get that information out, you would be, because it's expensive to do that, you would really only be tapping just a small proportion of the data that you could get out of that, of those documents, and the trends and the analysis that you could start doing if you were to actually use a machine and some technology to do that work. So what we're seeing people actually using technology, not just to say, okay, well, actually, we can now have a machine do some of this and scale that analysis, but also we are now able to look for more data than we were, and uncover more data than we were otherwise able to do. In terms of how fast that's changing, I think in reality, not hugely fast at the moment. I think that the reason for that is that there are relatively few technologies out there that are really genuinely flexible enough to be able to take on those a number of different document types for a start, and then look for very specific information. So quite a lot of the technology that's out there at the moment will look for common clauses, and we'll start doing that, and we'll be in the kind of M&A due diligence space. And you know, those aren't necessarily going to be capable of taking on an organization's entire kind of text data and surfacing that up. However, I think that is changing. You know, there are law firms that are looking at, and they're working on projects right now involving data scientists and so on to actually start leveraging their data in a much better way. And for me, that is something which almost... it's sort of inevitable that that will happen. The technology is there for people to be able to do it. And for me, it's now inevitable that they will then start doing that. And it's not just law firms. If you can start using this technology to surface data that wasn't there before to help you make decisions, I think everyone is going to do that. Everybody understands that data has a value. And so if you're now able to tap data, which you couldn't before, that is a valuable thing for you.
When we talk about data and the law, are we talking about quite narrow applications like due diligence, or is it a broader application of how data is transforming legal work?
For me, it's a much broader application. I mean, as I said, there's all of that data that's within the four corners of the law firm or the organization that you can start leveraging and tapping, and you can start doing that right now. But for me, I can see in the future you'd be able to take, you know, data both from within the organization or the law firm, and data from outside of it around trends and so on, and put all of that together to actually, again, even improve upon that data-driven decision or the data-driven piece of advice. I mean, you think about the sort of the most high-end work that a law firm can do, which would be public M&A. You could have a piece of technology which is essentially saying, analyzing all the time and saying, okay, well, I can see that your M&A deal is now, it's in this sector, it's with these particular clients, it's at this stage, you're now, this is the issue that you're now facing, here's what the takeover panel have said in the last, you know, four or five occasions where that's come up on this sector, here from an analysis of all of the public announcements that have been put out on previous takeover deals is what happened tactically in the past. And you can then start, you know, because public M&A is all about tactics, quite a lot of it is about tactics, and you can then actually use that to inform your next move.
So I guess to kind of play that back a little bit and summarize, in the future and even now, the ability to leverage some data outside of your law firm as well, in addition to your law firm or in-house data, that makes a more powerful kind of offering.
I think it would. I mean, I think the starting point must be the information which is within the law firm. And, you know, people are really only tapping a small proportion of that right now. And the way I think about it is, what is a law firm? What is the value of a law firm other than the knowledge which is contained within its four walls? And if you can start leveraging that knowledge and start saying, well, actually, we use technology to put that knowledge, put the entire knowledge of our institution into the heads of the lawyer as they are in real time, as they're negotiating transactions or doing their work, that has to provide a competitive advantage for that law firm. And you think about it, which law firm would you rather engage? A law firm where the lawyer who's going to be sitting next to you in the negotiation room has at his fingertips the power, the institutional knowledge of that firm, or somebody who's who just has the knowledge and experience that's in their head? I know which one I'd rather engage.
So that kind of leads neatly on to one of the questions that I had around the need to embrace technology, because I think lawyers sometimes get cast as sometimes they're a bit Luddite. Sometimes if you look at what how lawyers were operating in Charles Dickens' times to what they do now, maybe there's not that much difference.
I completely agree with
you. But and I also want to kind of be fair to a lot of those cynics, because often if you look at from their perspective, not a lot has changed and still very successful. I feel like the answer's somewhere in the middle, in this kind of nuance.
I think you're right. I think that you're right that in some ways the way lawyers work hasn't changed a huge amount. You still have sort of an expert sitting in their office dispensing pearls of wisdom, which is based on their own experience and their own knowledge. I think that experience is still going to count for a huge amount. You know, just having been through transactions and understanding the nuances is still going to count for an enormous amount. But I see that the use of technology will essentially allow lawyers to effectively do their job better. So I see technology as not replacing lawyers, but actually, you know, enhancing them and allowing them to do their job a lot better than they currently do it. So if you're a lawyer sitting in your room, and I certainly found this when I was practicing, you're constantly worrying about, what have I missed? What haven't I seen? Is there something that I haven't spotted? Because I can only rely on what's in my head. I can only rely on what I have looked at or what my trainee might have looked at. Or if I go out in my office and I sort of ask people two or three doors down and I'm sort of got an answer. So you're constantly on that sort of edge of, you know, have I spotted all the issues? What I'm seeing, what I can see in the future is, if you're then able to leverage the institutional knowledge of the firm, you have that technology as a support for you. So you can rely on it. So you can lean on it. So you can say, well, actually, I've got my own knowledge and experience, but actually I can test that. I can question it. Is that right? Is that actually what happens normally? How can I, you know, and you can get that data and you can get those analytics, and that can actually enhance the decision that you're making or the advice that you're giving. So that's how I see it working. And I think that you can even take that one step further and say, well, actually, if a law firm or a lawyer is able to access that data and that information to inform their decision, and let's say they don't do that, you know, there could be a situation in the future where that might be seen as potentially negligent. I could have used this data. It was there, it was available to me, and I chose not to do it. And if then you get that wrong, you can say, well, actually, you should have done that. In the same way with an organization, you can see organizations moving to a world where, you know, it becomes a matter of policy that you have to use this technology to use that institutional knowledge of the organization to make your decisions. Because it is, you know, almost obvious that if you can use data to make a more data-driven decision, that will then thereby be a better decision.
So when we look at the technology and how it applies to the day-to-day work of a lawyer or an in-house legal professional, how do you see technology changing that?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things. There's the sort of working closely with technology. I think lawyers will more and more work hand-in-hand with technology. So they will, part of their job, I think, in the future will be, or even right now, actually, will be learning how to work with these types of technology, learning how to train them, and learning how to get the most out of them. We have internally at EIGON what we call legal product experts, and these are trained, qualified lawyers that essentially work day to day with our platform and with our technology, and they effectively are the bridge between our technology and our clients, and they help train our clients up, and they help our clients get the most out of the technology, and they work with it day to day. And they're doing some very clever things in terms of, you know, making the machine do more of the work. So there's this skill around, how can I get the machine to do more of the work for me? How can I get it to do as much as possible? And that requires quite a lot of skill and thought. So and it requires legal skill and thought. So this isn't about, as I said before, this isn't about de-skilling the lawyers. In fact, it is a different legal skill that you need to develop, which is a legal skill of working with technology. So for us, for example, when you start training the machine, you need to have thought up front from a legal perspective, what am I trying to do? What legal answer do I want to try and find? And how can I set the machine up to get the best answer out of that? We also have within our technology what we call legal logic, which allows you to scale legal analysis through the platform. So you can ask legal questions such as, is this a high-risk contract? Or, you know, what do I need to do? What consents do I need to get to amend it? Those sorts of questions you can actually start training up. So you need to have understood how you're going to get those answers, and the analysis of the contract or the document that you're working with. You need to do all of that up front. So for me, there's that working with technology to train it so that you're actually getting that data out in the right way. And then obviously, as I've explained on the other side of the coin, once you've done that and once you've got your model and you're running all the documents through it, you're then essentially then able to take that data to use it to then make your decisions. So as I've said before, I don't see technology as de-skilling lawyers. And what I've just described is actually quite a highly skilled role. And we certainly see our LPEs as very highly skilled individuals because they're both lawyers, but they know how to work with this technology. I think that is, I guess, an answer as to how people might work with it day to day.
So someone we both know well is a gentleman called Nigel Ray, who works for LOD. I previously worked with him at LexisNexis. And he had a phrase which I've used a number of times, which talks about lawyers trading up to a better class of problem solving.
Yes.
And I think that kind of, for me, encapsulates what is the best of technology for lawyers, is it's not about removing your work. It's this thing about empowering you, enabling you to focus on the real strategic, the real value add work.
I think that's right. I think it will allow lawyers to focus on the value add work. And I think that, you know, lawyers are always afraid of not quite knowing what that will be because they aren't doing it yet. But I think it will happen naturally. So, you know, as you can say, okay, well, now I have this technology to help me. I now have the ability where I need to think way more upfront. There's a huge amount of legal thought that actually you need to put in to, because as with any technology, it's only as good as the thought that you put into it. So the more careful thought you can put into it, the better the information you're going to get out at the other end. The better the information you get out at the other end, the more value add you're going to be able to provide as a lawyer because you've got better data to work from.
Yeah, very good. I agree entirely. Yeah. One of the things that law firms have is scar tissue around deployment of technology, because I think a lot of law firms have done it before and they've kind of been, for lack of better words, burned by it.
Yeah.
How do you kind of combat notions around this is just going to be another shiny new tool?
Yeah.
How do you kind of combat that, and how do you actually deliver against those expectations?
That's a really good question. I think that, you know, certainly, let's say 2 or 3 years ago, there was this sort of wave of law firms buying technology almost because everybody else was, and they had to have something. And I think also the hype and potentially the expectation outweighed what the technology was actually able to do. And they've realized that actually they've gone on a learning journey as well here. So they've realized that actually it takes a lot of time to deploy these things. It isn't just about pressing a button and the whole thing works and springs into life and it all works wonderfully. There is actually thought that needs to go into it, and you need to work out very clearly how you're going to use this and how you're going to get your lawyers to engage with it, because getting lawyers to engage with it and change the way that they work is a challenge in and of itself.
So have you had eureka type moments with clients where they've kind of got it and you've rolled out a project and it's worked?
Yes. I mean, I think there's one in particular which I'm thinking of, where, you know, the law firm had a very specific use in mind for our technology, and one of the things that they really, really wanted to test and focus on was the ability of the lawyer themselves to train the machine. And we had a very good experience where one of their associates, you know, spent the time, and the law firm was willing to give that time, because again, they say, well, lawyers' time is expensive and we can't. So I think it's a two-way thing. Law firms have to be willing to sort of invest the time to actually understand how these things work. And so we had a lawyer who was working, essentially we gave them some training and then they effectively took over, and it was really good to see. And then they worked with the machine and were training it up, and they were able to do things which were actually really amazing. And that's exactly what we wanted to do,
right?
To have a non-technical lawyer being able to work with and train the machine in an intuitive way. And that was a really good experience for us.
Great. Thanks very much, Adam. Thanks for giving a very good overview of kind of legal technology and a bit of an effort to demystify what we mean by AI. Last question is, if we cast our eyes forward to the future, what do we think being a legal professional looks like in 2025?
Well, I think overall, what I would say is that hopefully it will mean that the legal profession is a less stressed profession.
Yeah.
As I've said before, lawyers are constantly worrying about what have they missed, what haven't they seen, a bit like goalkeepers, remember for the things they let in rather than the saves they make. And I think using with you being able to use data and provide data-driven advice, I think that that will mean that they're feeling a lot more relaxed about what they may have missed. I think there's a double-edged sword to that, though. There are two sides to that coin. And certainly from our experience, regulators are now getting wise to the idea that technology can be used to surface data which wasn't previously possible. We see that in the financial services space, for example. And I think perhaps in the future, regulators may also start looking at the legal profession to say, well, if you are able to surface this data, if you are able to use your institutional knowledge to give advice, then you should. And even if regulators don't do it, I can bet you that clients will start doing it. And if there are one people that law firms do listen to, it's their clients. So if clients start demanding that they actually do start using their institutional knowledge to deliver advice, I expect that law firms will start doing that.
Great. Thanks very much, Adam. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.